All right, here we go. One more hour, and then I won't be with you until Tuesday. And I was telling Margot, because this is our last show together, I've told you a bunch of times today. She'll be in tomorrow. I'll be gone. I'll be on vacation Monday and – or excuse me, tomorrow and then Monday as well, and I'll be back Tuesday. I was telling Margot, when Margot moves, I'm going to text her at the most inopportune, weird, crazy times just to bother her all the time. But – she's all right with that because she's the best in the business. And I would assume and hope she does the same thing to me. Like right in the middle of the show, bothers me with something or texts me something funny or an inappropriate joke. Because that's just how she is. Speaking of inappropriate, these red light cams. Now, we found out yesterday during the show, we had found out months ago that the city was going to install them. They were going to put them in. They were going to put them to use. We found out yesterday during the show, and nobody knew this, I was told that there is now a start date, okay? And that the current projected go-live date is the end of August, 2026. So they're in the throes of getting these things up and running. One of the things that has to happen is people need to be trained. Not people, but police officers need to be trained on these, okay? That is to say, There needs to be a human element. So training is going to be the first week of July. And members of the Pittsburgh Bureau of Police that are interested in this training are eligible for overtime opportunities. So think about that. And look, I don't begrudge the police. They got to get this right. Before they issue tickets, it's not as simple as, okay, we took a picture of your car going through this light. It needs to go through a human element, and then the ticket is sent out. So think of all of that, all right? And in the meantime, officers get trained, and they select to get trained, and they get overtime for it. In all of this, this is 100% a money grab. But there's something more that nobody's talking about at 866-391-1020. Well, first of all, let me get this out of the way. Members of law enforcement and members of the legal community have told me if you get tickets from this, if everybody just bands together, don't pay them. Just don't pay them. First of all, there's a big, heavy Sixth Amendment element to this, whereas you don't get to face your accusers. That's number one. What are you going to do, face the camera? And second of all, the city doesn't have the manpower or the energy to track down the people who don't pay. If everybody just said, heck with you, we don't believe in this, no, they're not going to run you down. They are counting on people getting that envelope and going, oh my gosh, somebody's going to come to arrest me. They're going to take me to ACJ where I get one of those nice Bethany Hallam uniforms. And, so I better pay this, you know, $85 or whatever. That's what they're counting on. If you take that envelope and you tell them where to stick it, you're not going to get locked up. Seriously. But that's your choice. More to the point, though, here's where the priorities are wacky. Totally wacky. So you have a couple city council members, Deb Gross and Barb Warwick, especially. They have resisted and resisted and resisted with security cameras around town. They have asked every question. They have relented. They have talked about how evil these things are. Well, they're collecting third-party data. They're doing this. They're doing that. They are broaching people's First Amendment right, all this kind of stuff. We don't need to have these cameras. Okay? That's number one. The same two and a couple more on city council have rattled on about how bad ShotSpotter is. Man, ShotSpotter is totally ridiculous. How are you going to have a system that detects ballistics activity and then people go and they actually respond to gunshots and then in the course of that, they might see another crime? That's unfair to the people doing the other crime. I can't make that up. Barb Warwick actually stood in front of city council and said that. She said it's unfair to people because there are arrests that happen with ShotSpotter that aren't gunshot arrests. It's unfair to a guy breaking in a car across the street if the police respond to a gunshot on another street and see a guy breaking in a car. It's unfair to him. I wish I was kidding. That was her argument in front of city council. So I illustrate those two things that they don't like. Okay? Security cameras around town and ShotSpotter. But those two love these traffic cameras. Love these red light cameras. You know why? Because they're making a quick buck for the city. They don't even have enough officers to take calls right now to go out and handle real crime. But they're going to dedicate people to go to overtime. They're going to dedicate people to watch these things and push it through their desk before they issue these tickets. I'm telling you, I'm not, you know, this is my opinion. This is absolutely a money grab that Erica Strasburger dreamed up. She got other people to go along with her, and it looks good for the bottom line. And it's another one of those things from way far left people who go, let's try to work the least amount and make the most money possible. And it goes into our coffers. That's precisely what's happening here. As opposed to taking that money that they're going to spend on cameras, taking the money that they're going to spend otherwise, and maybe adding humans to walk the beat downtown, to get out into the neighborhoods, to help out. So that's the first part of it. The second part is, think about the technology. And think about what I said about people saying don't pay them. How much outstanding tolls on the Pennsylvania Turnpike? Wasn't there like hundreds of millions? Do you know who gets screwed on the turnpike? The honest people. People blow through those turnpike things. They don't pay them. And there's all kind of outstanding money. So I'm questioning, like, why am I the honest guy? Why am I refilling my Easy Pass? Why am I the person that's doing this? When they can't collect these tolls, they haven't, and there's hundreds of millions of outstanding tolls. So again, it gets down to this. It's a total shakedown. It's not about safety. It's not about making our roads safer. It's about this. We have a tool that we can install and put in there. It can read your license plate. It can tell you you went through a red light. And it can scare the bejesus out of people who are naive to send in that $75 or $80. They come up off it, out of their wallet. They send it in, and we make a quick buck. If you think it's anything else, I think you're wrong. And I'm going to tell you coming up next how going through red lights isn't all equal. Some are much more egregious than others. I'll explain in just a little bit. 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. All right, at the tail end of the show, I got a story to tell about Margo. She's out of here. Today's the last day with her and I. She will be here tomorrow. I won't be here tomorrow or Monday. Have a little vacation, which is going to be fantastic. I do want to take your calls on these red light cameras because they're ridiculous. Also, going through red lights isn't all equal. I'll explain in just a little bit. Dawn's in Washington. Hi, Dawn.
Hey, Colin. Enjoy listening to your show. This actually pertains to the toll issue. I've got a solution to the problem. I understand that the toll, the Turnpike Commission, you know, they're doing this automatic Easy Pass, and I do have an Easy Pass. And as soon as they get this system set up in place, they're going to tear down the old toll booths. I got a suggestion. Let's leave the toll booths in place, and if you pull up to the on-ramp to the turnpike and you can't get on because your Easy Pass isn't working, stick an ATM machine in the old toll booth and take care of it that way.
Let's leave the jokes to me. 866-391-1020 is that number. A for effort, but eh. And we're talking about red light cameras anyway. So in all of this, going through red lights isn't all equal. And I said this, and I'll grab your calls in just a second. But I've illustrated this satisfactory, I think, a bunch of times. If you're stuck in gridlock and you got a Pat bus beeping behind you, honk, get out of the way, and you got these other cars about to come into cross traffic, and you kind of just go slow through because the light's about to turn, a police officer wasn't going to pull you over anyway. but you're going to get a ticket because the camera says you went through a red light. That's much different than blowing through a red light at 30 miles an hour. Getting out of that gridlock is beneficial to the flow of traffic. If you're stuck underneath of it when it turns yellow and then red and you're like, oh man, I got to get out of here. That's kind of in the flow of traffic. That's much different than blowing through a red light. That's a real safety issue. But these traffic cameras, they don't delineate. Red is red and green is green. Greg's in Indiana. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Colin. Hey, I agree with you 100% with these red light cams. They're going to be cash grabs for the city. And, you know, what's the cost of those things to put them into the red light to install them? It might take 10 years to get their money back for that.
Correct. And there's a reoccurring fee to the company. And then here's the other thing. Who's to say that they're going to work all the time and they don't need to be worked on?
Right. And then there'll be accidents because people will stop because their lights can turn red. They'll jam on the brakes and a car will hit them from behind. And then there's
Well, it's interesting you say that, Greg, and I appreciate your input. All data has shown that T-bone accidents have gone down a little bit. All data has shown exactly what you said. And I've researched this exhaustively. That people are cognizant that the red light camera is there. They know that red light cameras have been installed. And what happens is they're cruising along, the light turns yellow. Oh my gosh, I don't want to get hit for $80 or whatever. They jam on the brakes. Then they get rear-ended. In every single city, without fail, and some of them have put them in and taken them out. Some of them have also been deemed illegal, like in Texas. But in every single city, without fail, rear-end accidents haven't just risen. They've risen exponentially where these red light cameras have been installed for that very psychological reason. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, I don't want to get a ticket. I jam on the brakes. The car behind me rear ends me. Tell me exactly how beneficial that is. Money grab, money grab, money grab. Look, I'd actually respect city council a whole lot more and most politicians a whole lot more if they were just honest and they would say, this is an added revenue stream in addition to trying to keep people safe. But it's another case where, and I know a lot of politicians that are nice people, but there are too many of them that think everybody else is stupid. Cheat codes. Are those legal? I don't know. Man. All right. Not much time left. I mean, we're not going to die or anything, but so I'll be on vacation. I won't do another show with Margo after 5:55 today, which is in just a little bit. I'm sort of saddened by this. It is what it is, but I'm saddened by this, and it's tough. I do have to tell a story about Margo before we get out of here today. That's for sure, because she did something today. That in all of her glory and all of her niceness, I still went, oh my gosh, she might be the nicest person in the world. But anyway, you'll be able to hear her tomorrow, or she'll be here tomorrow. You'll hear her, I'm sure, as tomorrow's her last day, but today's our last day together. 866-391-1020 is that number. That's 866-391-1020. Oh, there is one story. You know what? Those whole punishments don't fit the crime stories are kind of ridiculous, some of them. There is one from Squirrel Hill that happened the other day. Some guy traveled here from Ohio. He threw anti-Semitic flyers in a bunch of them on the lawns in Squirrel Hill. And then all he got was littering charges. And he was all over the news. I saw this last night. It was very troubling. He was all over the news and he was gloating about, well, if people can't handle mean words, that's on them. And maybe they're looking for trouble. He was a total pig and a jerk. And he definitely came here with the intention to try to harass and to intimidate people. But there was nothing they could find in sort of the First Amendment protection to hammer this guy. But he was the exact kind of person that is a big jerk. And I guess you can't be put away for being a big jerk. But I saw that story on the news last night. It was so troubling. He drove all the way here from Ohio. He made a point to go to Squirrel Hill, right where Tree of Life shooting was, threw anti-Semitic pamphlets on people's lawns, and then all he got charged with was littering because he was protected in that speech that he had written inside all of those pamphlets. That to me was garbage, just entirely garbage. And then to see him gloat on the news and his attorney, that was the most disheveled attorney I've ever seen. To see those guys gloat on the news was like a double kick in the pants. Anyway, 866-391-1020 is that number. Before we're out of here today in just a little bit, I gotta let you inside about something Margo did today that sort of, it blew me away, but then again, it was kind of par for the course because she's a super person. All right, we got to wrap up. This will probably be the last call we'll take today, I'm guessing. Maybe, maybe not, but it's apropos, I think. Jack in Mount Lebanon. Hi, Jack.
Hi, Colin. How's your family?
Fantastic. Last couple minutes of me and Margo. Is this? Are you feeling a little sad in a way?
I am. I talked to her for a few minutes just now, and but she's going home to her, you know, where her family and she's from and all that. And I'm happy for her.
I agree 100%. She is a fantastic person. She's able to go home. And you can never fault somebody for wanting to be closer to their family. That's for sure.
She's one of the nicest people I've ever talked to.
Agreed. I don't know of anybody who would disagree with that.
But I want to warn her about the turnpike.
Oh, let's go. Let's hear it.
My last year in the Marine Corps, I was stationed in Philadelphia. In at the Navy base.
Okay.
And I told Margo that. I was flying. I had this Firebird formula or something like, I can't remember exactly. All of a sudden, the state cops behind me.
Oh.
Pulled me over. I said, oh, damn, you know?
Right.
He comes up to me and he shines a light my face, and he shines a light in his face, and he goes, hey, Sarge, do you remember me?
Get out of here. Wait. Come on.
Now, honest. I says, yeah. We're talking for a few minutes. He goes, how fast will that go?
Huh?
He goes, how fast will that go? I says, I don't know. He goes, follow me. We flew for how far, and he pulled over, and then he flashed the lights again, and I took off.
No way.
Yeah.
How many miles do you think he followed him for?
I don't know. 15, maybe 25.
Sheesh. Jeez.
You know, it's just one Marine to another Marine.
Not a bad thing. She does drive too fast, though. 90's too fast on the turnpike.
Oh, yeah. That road was built for horses.
I know. For a horse and buggy. And it's still not in good shape for that.
I know.
What did you end up doing with that Firebird? Did you sell it? Did you wreck it? Did it get stolen? What happened?
You traded in and stuff.
Okay. Was that the fastest car you ever had?
Probably, yeah. It wasn't a Trans Am. It was either a Formula. It had a little bird. It was black and had a gold bird.
Like in the movies.
Yeah.
Jeez, was it pretty loud?
No, it wasn't.
Okay. All right, Jack. Well, I'll talk
to you.
You're
going to miss Margo. You know that.
What's that?
You're going to miss Margo.
I sure am going to miss Margo because she works hard and she gets it done. And here's the other part about Margo. She knows how to do stuff without being asked like 7,000 times. She just comes in, she has her list, she has the stuff she needs to do, and bang, it gets done. That's the thing. The other part, too, is it ain't easy to do a radio show. That's something behind the curtain that people don't understand. You might be able to come in and do a radio show once and be like, ah, it's easy. Try grinding it out every single day. Not easy. But it becomes much easier when all you've got to do is formulate the topics, figure out when you're going to talk about them, and then deliver talking about them. When all the nuts and bolts and all the times for the commercials and all the times you got to get the break and all the cues and stuff like that are figured out and the reads that we have to do, giveaways and this and that, when those are figured out by a good producer and the person who is the host can just go ahead and concentrate on the content, that's where life gets good. And that's what Margo does. That's why she's fantastic. Because the only stuff I had to worry about was the stuff I had to worry about. That's where it's great. You never hear a bunch of dead air for a long time. You never hear commercials all over each other. You never hear two people talking over each other or screw-ups. It's just, that's the case because she's fantastic. All right, one more segment and then we're out of here. Oh, I might cry. I need some Kleenex. Margo has traffic. I've been waiting for her all day to mispronounce a Pittsburgh town. I don't think she's going to do it today. All right, here we are. We've reached the end. We should have played This Is the End. Anyway, oh, so, Margo, your plans are, though, you're going to kick around town for a little bit, right?
For a week.
Nice.
I'm dog sitting, so.
Wait a minute, you're dog sitting?
Next week. I made this commitment way before I even knew I was leaving.
Yeah? Is the dog friendly, and do you know the dog?
Oh, yeah. It's a family friend. But, yeah, so I'm dog sitting, so I'm just going to be doing that next week.
That is a great gig.
I know, right? And so I can feel retired for a week.
Do you have to pack all your stuff up, though?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, well, that's...
It'll be fine.
I'd rather have surgery than move.
Yeah. Well, I don't have any furniture, so I just have to pack clothes up, which I do have a lot of clothes, but it'll be fine.
That's not bad at all. But do you have a bunch of boxes?
I'm a bag girl.
Oh, you are? Okay.
Yeah,
you're a bag lady?
Stop. No, but the bags are easier because you can...
They're more pliable.
Mangle them to fit.
Yeah, I got
you. But boxes, you got to have a U-Haul for boxes.
No, you're right. And you got to sort them in like a puzzle, like a Tetris game.
Exactly. I'm not about that.
No, me either. You're right. Those bags are just fantastic. So, all right. Well, let me let you in on something. As we're dwindling the last few minutes of this show, Margo, like I said, she'll be here tomorrow. I am on vacation both tomorrow and Monday, so I won't be back with you until Tuesday. And I'll introduce you to our new producer. He's fantastic, young kid, super great. But anyhow, so today, Margo comes in, and we have cake, chips, a little party, all this stuff. Tamara and David Balerato and Paul and Jeff Hathorn and Andy's out there and our boss PJ, and then people come over from the sales department. Like, when I leave, there's going to be no one that says, oh, let's have cake. They hate me, okay? They don't hate me, but I just mind my business, put my head down. Margo talks to everybody, knows everybody, and she's super nice. I just come in and plan my show and do it, and then I'm gone. Anyhow, so everybody's standing around, and... people are having cake and this and that, and, you know, it's a celebratory time. This is exactly the kind of person that Margo is, okay? And you don't find this in life, let alone in this field. So on the day that we're celebrating Margo and her kind of finishing up her tenure here, even though she's going to work tomorrow, she started walking around to the desks, and I'm like... what's this crazy lady doing? Why is she walking around to the desks? And she goes, well, here. And she handed me a card, and I thought, like, is this an invitation? Are we having a going-away party? Did I miss something? What's going on? Then she hands something to Andy Lindbergh, and then she hands something to, like, Paul, and she hands something to this person, that person. On the day of her going away, Margo handed everybody, essentially, a thank you note with a big, long, personalized, I would think for everybody, personalized handwritten note inside of it explaining how that person had helped her in this job and thanking them for the experience. Margo, I mean that. Doing something like that is so incredibly thoughtful. It's something that so many people wouldn't even think of. It's certainly something that people in your age bracket don't do. They don't write handwritten notes. They would send a form email, if anything. And it really moved me today because you probably had 15 of those in your hand that you handed to everybody in the office.
Well, thanks.
And I think it typifies what you're all about. And don't lose that interpersonal connection with people, because no matter where we go with AI or where we go with texting or where we go with email or whatever, to get to know people is the most important thing, particularly at a workplace or particularly people you really care about or you're close to or whatever. And I read that today and I went, this really, one, took time, and two, took thought. So I just want you to know that of all the things that we've done in terms of a show, writing out a thank you note as you were leaving for the people who helped you was like really something that was impressive.
That's very sweet. It didn't even cross my mind to not do that because everybody has helped me so much. I love everybody here. It makes it very easy to go to work 5 days a week when you like your coworkers. And it's just crazy that there was a time I was the nervous little intern sitting in the newsroom and I was so scared to talk to Paul Alexander. And now I look at Paul Alexander and I just riff on him. It's crazy how I feel like I've made so many friendships just being here 1 year.
Well, yeah, it was just fantastic. And I think the show definitely took a spike and jumped up with personality and hit a ramp, a good one, whenever you came aboard. And I'm going to be saddened to, you know, I'm excited that it's going to keep projecting forward, but I'm going to be saddened that you're not part of it, because nobody in the whole time I've ever done this, nobody's ever kept me in line like you. Because from day one, you weren't afraid to come in and tell me I was an idiot or that was terrible, which was good.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And with that, I guess that's that. You're the best, Margo. Thanks for everything.
Thank you. Thank you for everything.
Absolutely. All right, traffic time. Don't screw it up, all right?
I'm gonna, and it'll be fine.